Today's Food for the Journey will be a classic reflection of today's readings.
Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. I'm sure you noticed in the last number of programs, the last four or five, I've been speaking so much about faith, though I certainly have it many other times as well. But I'm so aware, brothers and sisters, of how our faith is so much words on a page, the creed. Yeah, I believe this. But it doesn't go from the head to the heart. If I believe what the creed states, if I believe it, then that shapes my life. It shapes my priorities. It shapes the choices I make, the decisions of life. Because I'm, in a sense, governed in a good way. I freely choose it. But to be governed by the source of all truth and all beauty and all goodness? Or do I just rely on earthly authority and earthly leaders? My goodness, brothers and sisters, the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords is our Savior and our Redeemer. Turn to Him daily. Whatever the decisions, well, this is not about God. Everything's about God. People say, oh, well, this is my work. This isn't in your work. Turn to the Lord. Lord, how do you want me to resolve this problem? How do you want me to deal with this situation? Bring everything to God. Because first and foremost, you are a son or daughter of God. That's your identity before any of the earthly titles that you may carry. You are a son or a daughter of the living God. And He wants to lead you and help you and be beside you, defend you, correct you, yes, so that you go not down the wrong path. He wants to mitigate. He wants to minimize the pain that comes from our own stupid decisions and the sins that we commit. He wants to free you, help you. Why do we turn away, or why do we just ignore? We don't even turn away, we just totally ignore. God wants our faith to be strengthened. So let's pray for our faith and the faith of our families. Just pray that way for a while. See what God does. The prophet Hosea, chapter 8, verses 4 to 7 and 11 to 13. Thus says the Lord, they made kings in Israel. They made kings in Israel, but not by my authority. They established princes, but without my approval. With their silver and gold, they made idols for themselves to their own destruction. Cast away your calf, O Samaria. My wrath is kindled against them. How long will they be unable to attain innocence in Israel? The work of an artisan, no God at all, destined for the flames. Such is the calf of Samaria. When they sow the wind, they shall reap the whirlwind. The stalk of grain that forms no ear can yield no flour. Even if it could, strangers would swallow it. In other words, your work isn't going to bear fruit, even in this life, but certainly for all eternity. Who you are, your life, the work you do, the service you render will not bear fruit for all eternity unless you're seeking to follow Him. The world's acclamations and the world's praise is nothing compared to God's, but all we can see is this world. And we get attracted to it. We want to be known. We want to be important. We want the world to see us and acknowledge us. Stop it. Stop it. It will not lead you to eternal life. What you want is God's priorities, God's values, God's plan. And it's all right here in the scripture. Prophet goes on to say, when they sow the wind, they shall reap the whirlwind. The stalk of grain that forms no ear can yield no flour. Even if it could, strangers would swallow it. I read that just a moment ago, and I want to read it again. It's very powerful. When Ephraim made many altars to expiate sin, his altars became occasions of sin. Though I write for him my many ordinances, they are considered as a stranger's. Do we make the Ten Commandments the foundation of our lives? Do we follow them? Or do we treat them as, they don't matter in today's world. They don't matter. Everything's different in this world. It's nice if you want to follow those commandments, but really they're so unrealistic. God wants to supply the wisdom and the hope and the help to live them out, not only for you, but for the world. When Ephraim made many altars to expiate sin, his altars became occasions of sin. Though I write for him my many ordinances, they are considered as a stranger's. Though they offer sacrifice, immolate flesh, and eat it, the Lord is not pleased with them. He shall still remember their guilt and punish their sins. They shall return to Egypt. In other words, they'll be banned. They'll have no land again. They'll be under the authority of those who will enslave them. And doesn't that happen to us today? We become enslaved by sin. Please, please see where you are in all of this. What kind of a decision you need to make. Make small decisions. Live them out, and then you'll begin to see yourself on the right path, and it'll become easier. It's always hard at the beginning to turn away from sin, sinful ways, sinful patterns, sinful programs, sinful relationships. It's hard to turn away from them. But what God promises you is infinitely greater than anything that the world holds out to you that may attract you for a moment. Whatever decisions you need to make, to turn away from sin and turn toward God, make one of them today, and I will be praying for you. The house of Israel trusts in the Lord. Does your house, does your family trust in the Lord? The Lincoln family trusts in the Lord. The Shields family trusts in the Lord, etc., etc. Can you say that? Doesn't mean we don't have doubts. Trust is never perfect this side of heaven. But that essentially we know who the Lord is, we know what he's asking of us, and we want to follow him because he is the source of our life, and we want eternal life, and we want all our loved ones with him. So we follow him, and we do what he asks of us. The house of Israel trusts in the Lord. May you be able to say that. May you be able to insert your family name there. Ask the Lord to teach you how. Read the scriptures on trust. Pay attention. Remember, the scriptures are a living word. They're not just words on a page like any other book. They're a living word. They have, in other words, they have the power in them to grace you to follow, to obey. You can reject it, because you have a free will, but the power is there. Because God will always supply what we need to follow him. In the Gospel of Matthew chapter 9, verses 32 to 38, a demoniac who could not speak was brought to Jesus, and when the demon was driven out, the mute man spoke. And the crowds were amazed and said, "Nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel." Oh my, the Pharisees, oh my, oh. They're jealous. They're offended because they are the most important. That's how they see themselves. But the Pharisee says, "He drives out demons by the prince of demons." You see what happens to us when we're jealous? And the Pharisees, all the attention is going to Jesus now. They don't like that. They use the law as their means of attack, but nevertheless, what it really comes down to is jealousy, fear of losing their reputation. And so he drives out the devil by the devil himself. In other words, he's part of the devil. Jesus went around to all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and curing every disease and illness, every. At the sight of the crowds, his heart was moved with pity for them, because they were troubled and abandoned like sheep without a shepherd. He wanted to be their shepherd. They refused. They rejected. They cast out. Have you done that in your life? Is God asking you to turn around, to repent? He will bless you abundantly if you do. At the sight of the crowds, his heart was moved with pity for them because they were troubled and abandoned like sheep without a shepherd. Do you accept the shepherd in your life? Do you accept Jesus as your shepherd? Is the God-man who seeks to care for you, to keep you from evil and danger, and to bring you safely home? Do you believe that he is that shepherd? Because he is. Do you rely on him? Do you study his word? Do you read his word? How important it is. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest. The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few." So often we use that passage in thinking of people being called to religious life, priests, sisters, etc., missionaries of all kinds. And we think that the harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. In other words, there are fewer and fewer priests, and fewer sisters, and fewer all kinds of committed people. The numbers are going down. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest. There is a way, I think, that God wants to anoint and touch and raise up many people, married, single, etc., with a new heart and a new desire to be missionaries right in your own family, right in your own neighborhood, right in your own parish, right in your own workplace, right in the midst of organizations that you belong to or groups of people that you relate to. The Lord needs genuine missionaries. I call them home missionaries. Don't have to go to foreign lands to see the needs. Are you willing? Are you willing to have God draw you very close to himself, which involves suffering as well as great joy? They're both there. But that joy is beyond all price, believe me. But it's making choices about your priorities, about your decisions, so that right in your own circumstances, right in your own families, or as single people, or as religious, whatever category you fall in, God is calling us to have a missionary heart for those around us. Right, as I've said before, in our own grocery store, our car repair shop, the beautician, whatever, the doctors who help us. In every case, the Lord wants us to be the light in the darkness. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.